Well, good morning. My name is Jonathan Locke. I am the student minister here on the Antioch campus. And yes, Derek did give me the joys of taking his place this morning. And I don't take this lightly. I'm really, really nervous. But I know you guys are for me and not against me. So here we go. Thank you for braving the cold weather and making your way out here this morning. This morning, we're going to focus on eternity, and we're not going to focus on eternity like the pearl gates and the golden roads. I really want to focus on how can we live for eternity now, right? How can we change our mindset to say, you know what, I'm not living for today. I want to live for a million years from now. So that's kind of where we're going to focus. If you've got your Bible with you this morning, go ahead and open to Philippians chapter 3. That's where we're going to spend a majority of our time this morning. We're going to flip around, but put your little Bible ribbon right there so that you can get back there as we dive into God's Word this morning. But before we start, if you wouldn't mind joining me in a word of prayer. Most awesome God, I thank you for this morning. I am grateful for this opportunity to open up your word before my church. Father, may we see you clearly this morning. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Speak to our hearts. Let us know you more. Help us to understand what it means to fix our eyes on Jesus this morning, each and every day. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise that you are due. It's in Christ's awesome name that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I want us to think about, first of all, what captures our minds. What is the thing that we think about every day? What wakes us up in the middle of the night? What is it that captures our mind? You know, when I do a lot of my thinking, I do my best thinking when I'm driving. I've got about a 12-minute drive here each and every day. I do my best thinking when I'm building something, putting together something. I do really the greatest thinking while I'm sitting on my lawnmower. Some of the best time of thinking happens when I'm mowing my grass. And, you know, the things I think about are, what are ways that I can be better at my job, right? What are things that I could do to be a better father? What are things that I could do to be a better husband? How can I make more money? Did I leave the stove on, right? Those types of things, those really important things. But in November, we went to a conference, and I was really challenged to think about eternity. And so lately on my mind, I've been captured by Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25. Like I said, we'll spend most of our time in Philippians, but I'm going to jump around a little bit here at the beginning. So Matthew chapter 16 verse 25 says this, "For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." So I begin asking questions of myself. Who am I living for? What am I living for? Who captures my heart, right? Are these things going to last forever? Or are they simply going to rust and rot and be destroyed by moth later on down the road? And I know for many of us, we ask also the question is isn't there more than this? Isn't there more than just waking up, eating, going to work, wanting something, coming home, eating, going to bed, and repeating that process over and over and over and over each and every day? There's got to be more than this, right, God? Because the life that you called us to, there's got to be more. Paul says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. What am I missing? What am I missing out on? Instead of just going through the rat race of the world, is there something else? I think our biggest struggle and what we're missing here on this earth, or what's messing up the way we view things, right? Let me re-say that. What we're missing and we struggle with so much is our focus is wrong. Our focus is here. Our focus isn't in eternity. Our focus isn't of the things of God. So I began asking this question: how do I lose my life for Christ? Jonathan, how do you lose your life for Christ? Okay, now follow me here. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking about I have to earn my salvation, because that's not biblical, right? We salvation comes through faith in Christ, right? Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and our belief in Him and our faith in Jesus. So that's not where I'm going. But as a follower of Christ, how are we called to live our lives here on earth? And how am I to live out that verse? How to lose my life for Christ? Well, the author of Hebrews in chapter 12, verse 2, says this. He says, "Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." So to start off, in order to lose my life for Christ, I need to fix my eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So what keeps us from fixing our eyes on Jesus? What keeps us from living our lives for eternity, not just for the here and now? And I think the number one thing that keeps us from fixing our eyes on Jesus and from living for eternity is our desire for perpetual pleasure, always wanting more. Right? Turn to Philippians. Turn to Philippians chapter 3 in verse 18. Paul says, For as I have often told you before and now say it again, even with tears. So Paul is struggling here, right? Many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, and their God is their stomach. And their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Our desire for perpetual pleasure, we are driven by our stomachs. We're driven by earthly things. Now, don't hear me wrong. A lot of times when we hear the word pleasure, we think of something sexual, and that's not the case. I mean, in some ways, yes, that's ultimately what drives some people. But let's think even somewhere else. Golf, sports, pastimes, careers, relationships, family, money. Put whatever that you are pursuing right now before Christ, before God, in that blank. And that is the pleasure that we are perpetually seeking. And all of these things can control us, right? Any one of these things can control us. And we begin to live for that instead of eternity. We begin to live for golf. We begin to live for a sport. We begin to live for a career. We begin to live solely for our family, instead of focusing on eternity and focusing on Christ. And we give all of our time and we give all of our money towards these things, and we soon become identified by them. And identity is a big deal, all right? Identity is a big deal. Are we identified as followers of Jesus, or are we identified by the thing that gives us pleasure? One year when Mizzou and Kansas still played each other, and it was a basketball game, and Mizzou didn't win very many of them, but I am a Mizzou fan, so I'm going to hold strong, right? Jamie can remember this time. There were 7 seconds left. Mizzou was down by like 6 or 7. I was like, that's it. I'm going to bed. Like, I can't handle this anymore, right? And I went to bed, and Jamie goes, they won, right? And I was like, dang it. You know, I missed it. But I do remember coming into church the next day going, I'm identified by Mizzou basketball. That takes more energy from me and more excitement from me than my Savior Jesus does. I don't want to be identified that way. I want to be identified as a Christ follower. So not only do we want our pleasures fulfilled, right? This is what keeps us from fixing our eyes on Jesus. Not only do we want them fulfilled, but we want our pleasures when? Now. Come on, the first service did better. All right? All right? When do we want our pleasures? We want them. We want them now, right? We want these things fulfilled right now. The problem with this is wanting our pleasures now don't always mean that we'll want them later. Right? We all know this. Easy example is toys, right? How many of y'all got toys for Christmas? Everybody raise your hand, right? Okay. How many of y'all by spring break are going to forget you had it? Right? Raise the other hand. Okay. We're there. We've known that. Okay. I had my 20-year family reunion. Maybe toys didn't make sense. So let me go this route. This year I had my 20-year high school reunion. High school. I think I said family. It's high school reunion, right? 20 years out of high school. Okay. Kind of take it this way. Ladies, you're sitting there. You're thinking, man, I can't wait to see, put a name in there, right? He's the guy I wanted to marry. He's the guy I wanted him to ask me to homecoming, right? And you're sitting there and enjoying your Coke or whatever, and this guy walks up to you and starts having a conversation. He knows your name. You're kind of sitting there going, huh, who's that guy? And then you look at his name tag and you're like, no, that can't be him. There's no way that can't be him. And in your mind, you're freaking out and you're trying to figure out, okay, how do I talk to this guy? Because what's a nice thing to say? And you go, wow, you sure have matured, right? I mean, that's what it is. We want, we want, we want, we want. And then later down the road, we go, oh, man, I really didn't need that. I really didn't want that, right? We put clothing on credit cards that we don't wear anymore. We finance cars that we don't even like anymore. But our unwillingness to wait causes us to fall in this trap every time. Our unwillingness to go, hey, God, help me fix my eyes on you so that I know what to do. Right? So then, our perpetual desire to be fulfilled, our perpetual need, right, causes us to start fighting for what we want. And we start fighting for what we want, right? And this causes divisions in marriage. This causes divisions in relationships. This causes divisions in families. And guess what? This even causes divisions in church. All right? James chapter 4. James is the brother of Jesus. James chapter 4 and verse 1. He writes this. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your pleasures are at war with you. Your pleasures are at war with you. So let me show you what this looks like. When we don't get our pleasures fulfilled, we start to fight. And it looks something like this. You know what the problem is? I'm not getting what I want. Right? You know what the problem is? I am not getting what I want. My pleasure is not being fulfilled. So let's practice that, church, right? Pull out a finger. Here we go. Ready? Come on, I'm the student guy. Everybody's got to work along with me. All right? Pull out your finger. Now, point at me, not at your spouse, okay? So point at me. All right? You know what the problem is? Say it with me. You know what the problem is? I'm not getting what I want. There you go. It's hard, isn't it? Right? It's hard, but it's true. A lot of our fights in the home, a lot of our problems with friends and with family is we go, you know what the problem is, buddy? I am not getting what I want. And if we don't harness our wants, look what James chapter 4, verse 2 says. He says that when you want something but don't get it, you kill. When you want something but you don't get it, you kill. All right? This is why we have so many prisons that are full in the United States and around the world. Because we have people that are filling these prisons who couldn't get what they wanted, but they tried anyways. Right? You know what the problem is? I'm not getting what I want. So I'm going to go take it. Well, that's called stealing. It's against the law. It's not a good idea, right? And we see it time and time again with jobs, with relationships, with marriage. Young people that dive into marriage because they're so in love with one another. And then they find out that, yeah, marriage isn't that easy. You have to give up a lot. Try it. When you guys fight in your marriage, you know what the problem is? I'm not getting what I want. See what happens. The problem is we kind of turn and go, man, that's really selfish. Hopefully we do that. Hopefully we turn and go, man, I'm not getting what I want. Maybe I should rethink that and fix my eyes on Jesus. Right? What if we obeyed God's word and wives submitted to husbands and husbands loved their wives just as Christ loved the church, right? And husbands presented their wives before God as blameless and holy without blemish or wrinkle. The church would look totally different. Would look totally different. So we'll continue to miss out on a life that Christ encourages us to live if we choose to live for our pleasures instead of living for eternity. So, what can we do? I need a wide angle here, tech guys. I'm going to walk over here for a second. I borrowed this illustration from Francis Chan. I love watching Francis Chan, so if you've ever seen this before, just go with me. This rope represents eternity, all right? It goes on forever. Does that make sense? This little blue section is our life, all right? You were born on this day. And this is the day where you meet Jesus. Okay? Does that make sense? So, think about this. We focus so much right there. We focus so much on the here and now. We focus on stuff that will not last. We focus on relationships that we should never be in. We focus on careers that we were never called to. We put so much time and effort to make our kids happy and successful. And we miss out pointing them to the Savior. We work and we work and we work to save money to enjoy it right there. Right? So that we can, man, really live the life those last couple of years. Christ said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Paul encourages us to set our minds on things above and not earthly things. So, when we're standing here in eternity, it kind of changes our mindset, doesn't it? I want to live for that a million years in eternity. And then whatever happens a million years from there and from there and from there and from there. Right? So, how? How do we fix our eyes on Christ? How do we live to lose our lives? Go into Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Before this, Paul is saying, I don't have any confidence in my flesh. I've earned all of these accolades. I've done all these amazing things. I am the man who, if I earn salvation through righteousness, man, you're looking at the dude who should have it, right? And then Paul continues on. He says, it's of no profit. Verse 8. What more? I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. He considers everything a loss other than knowing Jesus. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Listen to verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to obtain the resurrection from the dead. Living for eternity means we must want to know Christ. We must want to know Christ. We need to be a church that hungers and thirsts for righteousness. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to fall in love with His Word. We need to get to know Him. In the first little step, Jesus says it in John 14. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So there's baby step number one. You want to know Jesus? You want to love Jesus? Keep His commandments. Well, what are His commandments? You've got to read His Word to get to know them, right? Here's a few. Repent, Matthew 4:17. Follow me, Matthew 4:19. Let your light shine, Matthew 5:16. Honor God's law, Matthew 5:17. Be reconciled to others, Matthew 5:23 through 25. Do not lust, Matthew 5:28 through 30. Keep your word, Matthew 5:37. Go the second mile, Matthew 5:38 through 42. Love your enemies, Matthew 5:44 through 46. Practice secret disciplines. Matthew 6, 1 through 18. Lay up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. In order to fix our eyes on Christ, we must know Christ. We must know Christ. We must spend time with Him daily. We must read the Bible. And I know our students are probably tired of it. They're like, Jonathan, that's all you say is read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible. Right? But it's so true. We've got to spend time in God's Word. And why wouldn't we? This is God's voice to us. This is God's revelation to us. Why wouldn't we want to spend time in it? Instead of leaving it on a shelf until next Sunday. Get to know God. Number two, living for eternity means to follow Christ. Paul stated it this way, Philippians 3:12. He says, press on. Press on. And this is probably one of the hardest things to do as a follower of Christ when it comes to living for eternity. Because after we get to know Christ and after we obey his word and we follow him, he begins to call us to do amazing things. He begins saying, hey, come over here, go over there. And then what makes it really hard is following Christ means that we will experience suffering. People will reject the message. People will reject you. Really, the only way that we can avoid suffering as followers of Jesus Christ is to not talk about Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus if you want to avoid suffering. Don't share. But think about it. If we as a church, if we as followers of Jesus would start really sharing our possessions with one another, right? We would, stuff might get ruined. You might not get it back. But somebody might come to know Jesus. Open your house for D-Now. Your basement will never be the same. Right? Okay, raise your hands if your basement is still kind of, yep, okay, got it, thank you. Right? But it could change the life of a student for eternity. Remember, we're not living for here. This is not our home. Our home is in eternity. What if we loved the way Jesus loved? What if we obeyed the Holy Spirit when He speaks to us? Julie Chastain at our senior retreat that we did in late summer shared a story about Beth Moore and an experience that she had in an airport. And it always catches my attention. She says that Beth Moore was sitting in the airport and waiting for her plane to leave or show up, whatever. And what does everybody do while you're sitting in the airport? You sit and you people watch, right? And so she was sitting there and she saw this gentleman come in and be parked in his wheelchair right by the desk there. And she's sitting there and goes, huh, he kind of looks not put together. Wonder what's wrong, what's going on there? And then the Lord speaks to her and says, hey, Beth, I want you to go comb his hair. Beth goes, no. You know how weird that would be? Me to just walk up to this guy and say, hey, I want to comb your hair. And so she sits there a little bit longer, catches a glimpse of this gentleman again, and Beth says, yeah, the Lord spoke to me again. You need to go comb his hair. So Beth gets up, and she walks over to the gentleman, and she says, sir, you're going to think this is crazy and that I'm some kind of weirdo, but God told me that I need to come over and offer to comb your hair. And the guy looked up with tears in his eyes and said, I've been praying for somebody to come over here and just simply comb my hair for me. You see, I had a stroke a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm going to go spend some time with my daughter, and I know I look awful. If somebody would just come and help me and comb my hair. Man, what if we were obedient to the Holy Spirit's voice in our life? The impact that we could make on other people when we follow Jesus here on earth. But following Jesus is not safe. But staying comfortable is a lot more dangerous because it takes our eyes off of Christ. So let your kids go on a mission trip. You yourself go on one. Get out of your comfort zone. Go out of the way to help someone. Give sacrificially. Talk to the person when the Holy Spirit tells you to. And then finally, living for eternity means we recognize our prize is not here on earth. Our prize is not here. Paul, Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 14 says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead. It is so easy to get distracted. It is so easy to get distracted. Don't get distracted. Luke 9, verse 57 through 62. It's a very hard verse to read. A man comes up to Jesus and says, I will follow you wherever you go. Right? And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds have nests. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And then Jesus calls another man, hey, come follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first, let me go bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of stuff around that has nothing to do with Jesus. There are a lot of things around that distract us from following Jesus. There are a lot of things that help us give excuses to following Jesus. But we need to spend time preparing to see the prize, preparing to see Jesus. So let's think about, what do we do with our money? What did we do with our time? When I'm standing before Jesus in eternity, and when I've spent a million years with him so far, am I going to be super excited about the 7,000 movies that I watched here on earth? Or the day that I spent completing the whole episode on Netflix? Right? Instead of doing what we want, let's pursue God this year. And ask God, should I buy this? Should I pursue this relationship? Should I eat this, God? Should I listen to this music? Should I respond this way? Pursue God instead of our personal pleasures. Yes.